Need your prayers this morning. As you know, we cannot preach without the blessings of the Lord and the liberty that comes from Him, and we're dependent upon the Lord. But as we often say, how great a Lord we have to depend upon this morning. He's been so very, very good to us. We have especially felt His manifest presence this week. So we have been with families in the hospital and seen the work of God's grace in His children and the evidence of His presence in our lives. We come this morning with thanksgiving here to the house of the Lord that He's made for us, given to us. It's a place designed to worship the Lord and give Him honor and praise. And He's due it all that we could give Him today. It's also a place God's children come to learn from the Word of God. And I pray that He'll bless us to do that this morning, that we might teach the Word, preach the Word, and instruct you as the Lord's people in those things that He's given us to know in this old world that so very, very much help us as we go along life's way. If you have your Bibles, I certainly encourage you to turn with me this morning. I have a pretty extensive passage, if I continue to be led as I have felt led this morning, to read in your hearing. I'd like to read from the book of Acts, I'd like to read beginning in chapter 10. I'm going to probably read the entirety of chapter 10. At least that's kind of what I think I'll do. And you know that sometimes changes as we're going through the passage, but I do want to read the entirety of the account here. We have an account of where the gospel is given to the Gentiles and shared with the Gentiles. And it is where one of the apostles who very much was needing the instruction of the Lord to know to do that was taught, Peter was taught that he was to do that, to share the gospel, to preach the gospel. And really, they'd already been given that commandment by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew to go unto all the world, unto all nations, and to preach the gospel and to teach and to baptize. But they had not done that, at least here in this particular text. We surely see Peter going to a people that he would have never chosen to go to, never of his own will or thought he should go to, but he was taught of the Lord otherwise. I think about that this morning. We're certainly here today because we've been taught of the Lord another way to think than what we have by nature. We've been given something in our hearts, something in our lives, awakened by the grace of God to things we would have never had any selection of ourselves or any choice of. Now, let me go ahead and read the passage. Okay. Beginning at verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. And he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodges with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which were surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, and as soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. I know that was quite a lot to read in your hearing this morning, but it's very necessary that we would see the fullness of that account in order to understand the working of the Lord. And his hand is all throughout this passage, as he is throughout the entirety of the Bible and really in the entirety of our lives. When you think about your life, sometimes you just feel like it's circumstances that are happening. Things you go through the days of your life and this just happens to happen, or this just comes up, or that just happens to be. Really, when we look at our lives and think about the Lord of glory, we have a God who providentially is watching over his children every single day and is actively involved in our lives, even in the very details of it. When we see an account like this, we're made to see and understand from the Bible that the Lord's hand was certainly with Brother Cornelius, and he was certainly with the Apostle Peter, and he was certainly with the household of Cornelius. It's the hand of God that brought this all about. We see that there's a man here who is called by the Bible a certain man. And really, when you think about God's people, every one of them to the Lord is a certain one. There's no group of them in general. There is a general number that are God's people, a people that he's known in covenant even before the foundation of the world. And he's the Savior of all of them. He's the Savior of all that world of his elect. We know that from the Scripture. But we also know he's a very particular Savior for each and every one of his children. He's a God who's a personal God, a personal Savior. The world talks a lot about a personal Savior that you make your own through some action that you do in order to make him your personal Savior. We do have a personal Savior, but he came to us personally and acted on us and made us what we would not be in order to make himself known to us. He said, they all shall know me from the least to the greatest. And that's a very personal thing that God does with his children. The Bible teaches if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. It literally means a new creation. He's made, born of the Spirit of God, made a new creature. Somewhere along the way that it certainly happened to this Roman soldier who grew up, no doubt, under the teachings of idolatry and all of the sin that was going on at that time and in that era in Rome. And he was a soldier. And we can imagine that he had seen and been exposed to all kinds of things, idol worship and everything else. But rather than falling in that way, this man had something special about him. The Bible says this certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, we know he's a Roman because of his name. We know he's a Gentile. He is a centurion, that is a soldier who has the charge of about 100 other soldiers. So he's not only a soldier, he's a soldier who has some rank. He's a centurion, and of the band called the Italian band. Clearly we're talking to anyone that, as we understand the Scripture, we're talking about a Gentile. And we know that the Jews, according to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, we know that they were not to have anything to do with the Gentiles. That they were to, they saw them as dogs, and we see that throughout the Scripture. They saw them as those they weren't to have anything to do with. And then also, by the customs of the Jews, were even to they even added to the law of God, as many men do, add to the Word of God, and by their laws and customs added things that God had not even given in regard to that, as far as not to have anything to do with the Gentiles. And so to have the Apostle Peter, as a Jew, go to the Gentiles had to be something that Peter needed to be instructed about, and also the centurion would have needed to had some work in him that was there before they did anything for the Lord. And I guess that's one of the things I see throughout this lesson. You see the Lord working and then men responding rather than men working and the Lord responding. And that's very important when it comes down to understanding how God works in our lives. Sometimes to us it feels like we have worked and God responds. Sometimes it seems like we've reached out and God reached down. It seems like we called out and God answered. It seems like we initiated the action. And by nature, we kind of think that way because by nature man has a prideful countenance that wants to bring the initial action to himself. And even though we are not aware of it sometimes, we're always looking for a little place we might get a little praise. Now, if you think contrary to that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful to God for that. Because if you think contrary to that today, It's only God who can give you that contrary thought. It's not you who've humbled yourself. It's God who's humbled you. It's not you who've seen it otherwise. It's God who's enlightened you to be able to see it. And it takes God to do the work first in order for us to respond or act in any way. God has the work in our hearts to let us understand that without Him, I would have never called upon Him. I would have never trusted Him. I would have never feared Him. I would have never known Him. I would have never understood that hymn we sang today about all the blessings, the sun, the moon, the blessings of nature, all of the blessings of our friends, all the blessings of our family, all the blessings God has given to us in this world. I would have never understood they came from God unless God had awakened me somewhere to that and allowed me to see things that I could not see according to nature. The world by wisdom didn't come to know God. The world by wisdom knew not God. The eye that we have doesn't see God. The ear we have doesn't hear God. The heart we have doesn't understand God. But God in His Spirit has revealed Himself unto us. Aren't you thankful? He's allowed you to see that every good thing you have in your life, everything that's worthwhile, has come to you by the grace of God. And Cornelius was one before he had heard clearly the teaching of the gospel. Now, I believe he had heard some mention of the things that the apostles taught, but he didn't have a clear understanding of it. It was surely evident that he didn't absolutely know and hadn't received and understood the gospel. They came to Cornelius not to give him life, because God had already done that, but they came to enlighten Brother Cornelius about the one who had truly given him life. And that's a wonderful thing to know too, that the gospel is not that which gives you life. The gospel is that which brings life and immortality to light. It shines a light that you might see where your life came from. Listen, if you love the Lord today, it's because He first loved you. If you have called out on the Lord, it's because He called down to you. If you today believe in Him, and as we have this week, when someone of our loved ones is sick and we are in trouble, we look to a God who is able to answer, and the reason we believe He's there is because He's allowed us to see and understand that He's there. And when we're praying, we're talking to somebody. We're not just talking to the air or talking to the building or talking to anything else. We're talking to the Lord that we cannot see. Our God is in the heavens, and He has done whatsoever He has pleased. He's the invisible God that we worship as a spirit. Our God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And you see little brother Cornelius, and I call him brother because the scripture says, and it's not because he was a centurion that he was a brother. It wasn't because he was a Gentile that he was a brother. We had a fellowship with him in that. But that fellowship, we had a kinship in that. I mean, most of us, I believe, most probably, if we traced our lineages, we'd probably be ranked among the Gentiles. And of course, I heard yesterday about a man who said, when you start checking your DNA and start running that up the lineage tree, or you start running that into what is that website that you go to, that you can ancestry.com, and he said, I was telling him a little about what I had found, and he said, well, you ought to put your DNA in there and see what happens with that, because you know then you really get to see the tree. Of course, sometimes when you start looking at that tree, you might go like, I wish I didn't know all about that. And I want you to understand, though, when you take it all the way back, we have one father and one mother, and that's Adam and that's Eve. And in them, we didn't do well. In Adam, we all died and inherited from our father Adam a polluted bloodline. In him, we died and would have never been brought back to fellowship with God or kinship or relationship with God had it not been for the second man, Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we had not been chosen in Him before the foundation of the world and had been left in our natural lineage and had not been purchased by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there would be no God for us to pray to. And there would be none to hear us or to answer. Nor would there be any will in our hearts to do it. And if it hadn't been for that same God, that old centurion wouldn't have been somebody Peter would have wanted to go and see. Because he would have had no fellowship with anything Peter believed or understood or known. But I'm talking about a God who can reach down and touch an old Roman soldier. and can cause him to fear the Lord and make him different. I believe this old soldier was different than the other soldiers around him. I believe he was different than some of the other Gentiles. Oh, there were some others around him, because listen, when they finally got the gospel, I'm glad we read it all, because at least I've covered that. When they finally got the gospel there, when the Lord by his power brought the gospel to that place, that Gentile had gone out and gathered his friends and near kinsmen. It wasn't just by himself that he was waiting to hear from Peter. He wanted them all to hear it, because he knew the Lord had showed him something good is about to happen. Something wonderful is about to happen. Now listen, it wasn't to make him a child of grace. He already was that. It wasn't to make him a son of God. He was chosen in Christ even before the foundation of the world. But it was to take that little brother and those sisters and others that had gathered there that day that had a love for God and a fear for God in their heart. It was to allow them to know what Jesus had done, who was verily God, and what he did when he died on the tree of the cross. And though men had taken him and slain him, he didn't remain in the grave. He came forth a resurrected Savior. And in that final act, he secured everyone that was pictured on that sheet that was let down from heaven. Those wild beasts, and those four-footed creatures. You know, that would have been something for that little Jewish brother to sit there, and when the Lord said, let down that sheet from heaven, and he looked on that sheet, and that sheet was knit in all four corners, and when that sheet came down from heaven, I believe it was as he looked over into that sheet, he saw all kinds of things, creeping things, the scripture says. And he said, you rise, Peter, and you kill and you eat. Peter didn't want anything to do with that, because he had never eaten anything that he considered to be common or unclean. You see, under the law, there were many things ceremonially they were not to do, and certain things were considered common and unclean and were not to be eaten. And the Jew was not to eat them. He was not to have them, because they were picturing something that was going to take place. But I'm telling you, when the one who came and fulfilled the law, all of that under the law, the ceremonial law, not the moral law, but all the ceremonial law was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ and abolished. So today you and I are not under that same law, and we can eat these things and receive them with thanksgiving. Aren't you? That's a good thing too. If you enjoy like me, and I've said this before, a little hamburger and a hamburger was all right, but a little pork, a little sausage, a little ham, those things were there now, free to eat and receive with thanksgiving. But that's not all this lesson was about. Listen, this lesson was about what the Lord had done for his people. And his people were not just of the nation of Israel, which the Jews would have felt would have been the clean, but they were also of the Gentiles. They were Jew and they were Gentile, and they were bond and they were free, and they were those his people. The Lord has a people, as we read in Revelation chapter 5. Out of every nation, every kindred, every tongue, and out of every people, there's a people that will praise his name and are praising his name, that have been made even kings and priests unto God here in this world by the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. Well, I'm way ahead of myself, but that's okay. We may not get there. So I got to that part of it. Listen, this is all about Jesus and what he had done for his people. It says a devout man and one that feared God. You see, when you find someone that fears God, you're seeing an evidence. And I'm not talking about a slavish fear, just someone who's afraid of hell. I'm not talking about somebody. I'm talking about one who's really been touched by the hand of God and the work of the new birth, and they're made to see themselves in their own. They see themselves lost and undone and in need of help. They understand, I'm a sinner. They have been, their eyes have been opened to their great need of the Lord, and they fear him in the sense that they stand in reverence and respect to Almighty God. Listen, that was something that man can't give you. We know that from the Bible, because the book of Romans tells us in over in Romans chapter 3, the language is there in Romans 3, and I just can't get that verse to mind right now. But it says, it's a clear verse, verse 18, Romans 3 and verse 18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And so for me to stand before you today and try to get you to fear the Lord, if the Lord hadn't already caused you to fear him, I can't give you the fear of the Lord. And yet the fear of the Lord is the what? According to Proverbs, it's the beginning of wisdom. It's also the beginning of knowledge. When the Lord works in your heart, all of a sudden, this God that you didn't even believe in, now you not only believe in Him, but you fear Him. You desire to please Him. You see, you know that I'm not alone in this world, that I'm answerable to Almighty God. And then your sins come before you, and you see, well, I've done wrong, and I've sinned, and I've come short. And many try to fix that by getting right and getting correct and doing everything right. But that doesn't undo all the wrong you've done. It's like a brother said, if believing today would change it all, then what about the unbelieving yesterday that I did? It doesn't undo. If believing just would be all I needed to do and all I needed to believe, well, that takes care of me today. But what about my unbelief yesterday and all that I've sinned and done in the past? Even if I could from this point on do better and get it all straight, which I can't do according to the scripture, we'd still fall short. Every day we'd fall short. And if salvation was based on us getting it straight, we'd be in trouble. Listen, the fear of the Lord can drive many to an effort to try to get everything straight. And I'm not saying by this that you shouldn't try to live the best you can. But listen, the good news is salvation is of the Lord. And because it is, then we ought to try to live the very best we can to the honor and praise of the Lord. But this fear that he had, he feared God with all his house. Now listen, he not only feared God, but his house feared the Lord. There were God's little children in this household. And they gave much alms. He which gave much alms to the people. That means he not only believed God, but it brought about action. Now giving alms doesn't make you just being okay, because there were those who gave alms to be seen of men. And the Bible tells us that they have already received their reward when they give alms. In that way, he gave alms out of love towards God and out of faith towards God. You see, good works are not really good works unless they're done in love towards God and in faith towards God. Some men said, well, we can do good works without the Lord. No, you can't, because without the Lord, you cannot do anything that's good, because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we have to have the Lord in order to do good works. And it may appear to be good works, but listen, if it's done outside of the grace of God and outside of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and a love towards God, it is not truly good. That also gives us reason to think about why we came here today. Why, when we're doing these things, why are we doing them? Sometimes as we look at our motivation, we can say, oh Lord, even when I'm trying to do good. That's what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, when I would do good. Do you find this? When I would do good, evil is present with me. Listen, we need to be motivated out of the love of God. And oh, don't we have a reason to love Him? God has been so good to me. I want to praise His name. That's being motivated out of the love of God. And then believing in the Lord. I believe as we pray, I look to Him. I believe He will hear our prayers and answer our prayers. I want to walk by faith and live by faith and depend upon the Lord. And when I'm standing before you preaching, that's pretty easy to do, is trusting in the Lord. But then when I go out in the world and something hits you, you know, you tend to at times try to want to pick it up yourself. Brethren, let's not do that. Because those are not good works when we're walking in that way. But when we're trusting in the Lord, when we go forth believing and trusting in the Lord, motivated by the love of God, you know, we'll do things that are good for God's people. We'll respond in our speech in a way that will help God's people. You'll be able to be a help to people that you would never imagine you could help. And be able to do things you never would imagine. And it's the difference between trying to do it on your own than when I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. He says he's a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. And he gave much alms to the people, and he prayed to God always. And as the custom of the Jews were, as we know, they prayed in the morning, and they prayed at noon, and they prayed in the evening. We know at 9 o'clock was a time to pray, and 12 o'clock was a time to pray, and 3 o'clock was a time to pray. Do you know 9 and 12 and 3 are still a time to pray? So is 1 and 2 and 11 and 9. And when is it time to pray? We ought to pray when? Always. The Bible teaches us we're to pray always. And not to faint. Now, what does that mean? That we're to keep ourselves in a position and a constant position of prayer? No, but it is is that we're open to the leadership of the Lord, and we're open and communicating with Him as we go about our activities during the day. And oh, how sweet it is to have that sweet hour prayer where we come away and get away and lock ourselves in the closet, so to speak, and go to the Lord and pray. But this dear brother was doing that. Now get this. He hadn't understood fully the gospel. The gospel had not been preached to him by the apostles. And yet this brother was praying. This brother was a devout man, a religious man, and not just any religion, but he was in pure religion, because his prayers, he was praying, he had an intercessor. Listen, the only way any man can pray is through an intercession. How do you know he's a saved brother? How do you know he's a little child of grace? Now, listen, he needs some gospel salvation, but he had eternal salvation before Peter ever got there with the gospel. He just needed some gospel in order to understand how it was he was eternally saved, so that he might enjoy that deliverance, that salvation that comes in time, and being able to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if we belong to the Lord, our salvation was really secured, was it not? When Jesus died on the tree of the cross some 2,000 years ago and paid a sin debt, that's when our sins were paid for and washed away and removed from us as far as the east is from the west. But we had a time that came in our life where we got a taste of that. Can you think of that time? Where you came to see my sins that are so great have been laid upon Him. As Brother Charles said, every one of them that would have merited for me an eternity of punishment away from the Lord forever and away from the Lord's people. He took in His own body and paid a sin debt I could not pay, that I might have life and also have it abundantly. Listen, He gave us a heaven to wait for that we're going to enjoy one day in glory, but He also has blessed us, I believe, with a lot of little heavenly places here in time. Some of them, and I believe most of them, are found around this place where we are today, the Lord's church and the kingdom of heaven here in this world, where we're feeding and feasting upon the truth of God's word, where we break the bread of life and share it with one another, where we see the ordinances of baptism and we see the ordinance of communion, and we feel the Lord's fellowship in this very special and intimate way. But He's not just limited to this place. I felt Him in hospital rooms and in nursing homes and funerals and all kinds of situations, both what the world would call good and bad. Listen, I hope you're experiencing His fellowship in your homes. I hope husbands and wives are holding one another and experiencing that. And if you're not, I hope you're praying in your home for those who would not even pray with you, but you're praying that, Lord, open that up in my home and in my family, and share it as much as you can with your children, so that they might understand there's a God who is worthy to be praised, that we're to look to and lean upon in the troubles of life. Listen, you're in a world full of trouble. And this old world's not getting better, it's getting worse. And we need that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. The one who Cornelius found in his own life to be a friend that he feared and that he trusted in and leaned upon. And he prayed to God always. And listen, he not only prayed, God heard his prayers. He saw in a vision evidently about the... It says, and he prayed to God always, and he saw in a vision evidently about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid. I would have been too, wouldn't you? I'm telling you that he was in bright clothing, the scripture says. This angel appeared to him, and it was in a vision. He was alert and awake. He wasn't carried away later as Peter was in a trance. He was just there, and he was alert, and there he saw this angel come, and this angel spoke to him. And he said, when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? He knew who had sent the messenger. The angel would be the messenger of the Lord. What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms have come up before a memorial before God. In other words, God heard your prayers. Isn't that wonderful to know God hears the prayers of His little saints and His children? They cry unto Him day and night, and He hears their prayers. And in this case, He said they came up for a memorial. That means God remembered them. God's mindful of them. God's answering His prayers. And now send. And this answer came here. He says, and now send men to Joppa and call one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Now, how in the world did he know there was a Simon over in Joppa whose surname is Peter? And how did he know he lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside? And how did he know he was going to be able to tell him what thou oughtest to do? Can you see God's hand through all of this? Sometimes we say, I just happened to go over here and happened to run into this person and this person helped me out and I happened to go over there and he just happened to be there at the right time. Do you believe that God brings people together in this world? Do you believe that God sends angels from time to time and he appeared in the form of a man? He says that later on. He appeared in the form of a man and his angel appeared and as angels do sometimes. And be careful that you entertain strangers, because sometimes you entertain angels unaware. Listen, God has his messengers. And here he said, and he lodges with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. God knew exactly where this was and what he was going to send him to do and what message he needed to hear. He needed to hear the truth. And though he had understood much about the Lord, there was much he did not know and much he needed to know. And that's one reason we're here today. You may know a lot. I feel you know a lot. But listen, in the light of what there is to know, we know very little, don't we? I have so much more to learn. You know, sometimes folks think, well, the preacher, he knows it all. I'll just ask him. Listen, preachers are just students just like you. And they're learning the Word of God. And I don't want to listen to a preacher who thinks he knows everything. I want to hear those humble men that are crying and pleading, God, feed me that I might feed thy lambs and thy sheep. Lord, give me the understanding of thy word that I may be able to share that which you've laid upon my heart and given to me. And the only thing a minister can share with you is that which the Lord has given to him to share. And oh, when that is shared, oh, that's good news and a wonderful time. He says, he lodges with one Simon a tanner whose house is by the seaside, and he shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. You know, not too many people want to be told what they ought to do. When you come to church, you ought to have somebody telling you from the scripture what you ought to do. Most people say, I don't want to go somewhere they're going to tell me what to do. I don't want to be told what to do. If you're asleep, we ought to be told to wake up. If we have gotten slothful, we need to say, come on, let's not be so lazy. If we've gotten negligent in these things, we need to be stirred up. Listen, this is the most important activity on the face of the earth that is here today, is that's worshiping God. And to be able to come to the house of God and worship Him and praise Him. He's been good to me. I need Him. I need Him in my home, my marriage, my family, my life. I need Him because I don't know how to be a good granddaddy without the Lord. I don't know how to be a good father without the Lord. I can't be a good husband without the Lord. I can't be the person I need to be without the Lord. But with Him I can be whatever He would have me to be. And I need to know what I ought to do. And that's where the gospel comes. It doesn't give you life. It just tells those who are living how you ought to live. And then when we hear it, we ought to heed it. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of the household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. As soon as he got the message of what to do, he did it. That's good instruction. When the Lord gives you in His Word what you ought to do, that's the time to do it. Don't wait. Don't tarry. Don't put it off. He sent them immediately. I believe his prayer was, Lord, give me some light. Are you praying that? Lord, shine thy light upon me that I might know. Lord, help me see. Lord, instruct me. Lord, lead me. Lord, help me understand thy word better. And Lord, as I learn that word, help me apply it in my life better. Help me to live it better. Listen, you're just here for a few days. I had a little sister yesterday that had passed on 89 years. And as I thought about even the time that I had known her, it just seems like a blink. From the time I first met her until today, oh my goodness, I guess it's been close to 40 years. It just seemed like yesterday. How about with you? And when you think about your whole life, it's just a little vapor here. It's just a vapor. It's just here for a little while. And the most important thing we do in this world is worship God. The most important fellowship we have in this world is in the Lord. Even with a husband and wife, the fellowship we have naturally is a beautiful thing that God has given and ordained. It's wonderful. But that fellowship that's in the Lord, oh, I'm telling you, that's the valuable thing that in eternity we will continue. Love, that love will live on. Listen, things, many of them we need in this world. And I'm talking about the love we have in the Lord Jesus Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ. What a blessing. Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. And the Lord has given us that wonderful fellowship in Him. And when He had declared all these things unto him, He sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up into the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Peter just happened to be praying as they were coming his way. It just happened to be. No. I believe the Lord was moving that brother to pray. And I believe the Lord came to him and showed him what was about to happen. See, Peter, when they came to the door, Peter didn't even really understand the vision altogether. And he was shown to him three times. And this sheet, this great sheet. I'm going to look at the sheet a little. And I know we're, some of you might be getting nervous. I've read 48 verses. I'm on 10. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. I can understand that, can't you? It's noon. But while they made ready, I can understand that too. He fell into a trance. Listen, that was of all the other was natural. This was a trance. He was carried away. Carried away by the Lord. And he saw heaven opened. He visioned heaven opened. Saw in a trance. And a certain vessel. Not just any vessel. This is God's vessel. This is a picture of God's elect family. It's a picture of his people. It's a picture. You say, who are his people? They're those four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. Remember that worm, old Jacob? I remember little Leah way back a long time ago when I said that worm, old Jacob. She said, I ain't no worm, Papa. I ain't no worm. Don't be calling me a worm. That's man's nature today. He doesn't want to understand what we'd be. I'll tell you, if you want to know where we are, little children of God, if I hope and pray we're among those four-footed beasts and those on those sheep, because I'm telling you, they were the ones unclean that had been cleansed by God. They were the ones that were common and unclean. And that's where you and I were and would have remained had it not been for the grace of Almighty God. But they're not just anywhere, are they? They were coming down out of God from heaven. That means they'd been cleaned up fit for heaven. Listen, when something comes down out of heaven, you don't have to worry about it being unclean. Because there's not one unclean that's going to ever enter heaven. And somebody said, well, does that mean I got to clean myself up enough to get to heaven? Boy, we'd be in trouble if that was the case. Listen, the only thing that can wash away my sins and the only thing that can wash away your sins is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what this dear brother needed to see is that the remission of sins came only through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He has sent our sins away. Listen, not only did He send them away in His finished work at Calvary, in time He removes that from our conscience. In that you're carrying a heavy sin debt in your conscience that He has already paid for. And in order to have peace about that, you need to see the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and feel that applied to your conscience. And when it is, you feel to be at peace with God because you understand, listen, my sins have been removed from me as far as the east is from the west. There are many of God's little children today trying to do for themselves what Jesus has already done for them in a finished work at Calvary. They belong to the Lord, but they're not at peace about it. And see, under the law service, that's where old Cornelius was, under the law. And as a Jew under the law, he was really in trouble, wasn't he? I mean, as a Gentile under the law, he was really in trouble. So there was a great peace given to him in the message of the gospel. And that message was clearly that salvation is of the Lord. He says this, he saw heaven open and a certain vessel descended unto him as it had been a great sheet, knitted all at the four corners and let down to the earth. I believe knit meaning there wasn't a thing that could fall out of that sheet. You're talking about the eternal security of the believer. They were in the sheet and the sheet was a great white sheet and it was knit in all four corners. A great sheet knit in all four corners. And it was let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. Then came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, Not so, Lord. And I'll tell you anytime, and I've said this before, anytime the Lord tells you to do something, you say not so, you messed up. He said, not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He thought he was doing right and not doing what God told him to do. But you're never, if you're not listening to the Lord, you're never doing right, no matter what reasoning you put behind it. He said, not so, Lord. And then the voice, and I'm thankful, the voice spake unto him the second time, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. He told him that once. And then he says, and then this was done three times. And the vessel was received up again into heaven. I love the picture of the vessel going back up. He didn't just put it down here and leave it. Listen, one day all of the elect were going up. All the elect. Who's the elect? The ones he chose. What were they before he chose them? They were full of sin. They were unclean and common. But when he chose them, and then he washed them in his own blood. Listen, they were unclean. You can't be cleansed if you weren't unclean. You were unclean, but then you've been cleansed. And then he's carried them up to glory. And they are what? They are Jews, and they are Gentiles. And they're out of every nation. Just read that real quickly in closing. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 9 and 10. I have to get verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Here we see a worship service, picturing the worship of God, of the Lord, down through the ages. And he says, and they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. There was only one who was worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof. There was only one who was able to fulfill the very will of God. There was only one that could do what Jesus did. There was only one who could die a perfect death. There was only one who could live a perfect life. There was only one who could wash us in his own blood. There was only one that could come forth a resurrected Savior. There was only one who could fulfill the will of the Father to every jot and tittle. And that was the one who was verily God and verily man, the person that Jesus is. And the more you learn about him, the more you see that he is, and the more you love him. Oh, what a Savior. See, that's what Cornelius needed to hear about. That's what Cornelius needed, not in order to get to be alive, but because he was alive, and that he might truly live and have peace about his sins being remitted through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They sung a new song. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us. Who's singing this? Well, that's the redeemed, isn't it? Redeemed us, who? To God, by thy blood. How were we redeemed? By his blood. Out of what? Every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Not just among the family of the Jews, but among Jews and Gentiles. Every people and tongue and people and kindred and nation, and has made us under our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And then it was carried back up into heaven. And then Peter then went with them. And he didn't go alone, though, because he was going somewhere he wanted the brethren to see. Listen, if we going somewhere, visiting somewhere that maybe is a little questionable, you know what's good to do? If the Lord's leading us, is get four, five, or six of the brethren. That's what Peter did. He took six of the brethren with him to see this and be witness of it. Because when he got back, they called him into care. Why are you going down there among, you going somewhere you ought not to be going? He said, no, God sent me. And these witnesses came with me, and this is what happened. And oh, I'd like to talk a little more about what happened, but if I get into that, we'll be here a lot longer. Y'all have been very patient and very kind. I hope and pray that we understand that he was declaring unto him the good news of Jesus Christ and him crucified, not to get him to be a child of God, but because he was. And then when they saw that and they understood it, all that wonderful ordinance of baptism occurred. Now, somebody said, well, you got to be baptized in order to be a little child of grace. I said to you, from this passage, we see Cornelius was already a little child of grace before he was baptized. He was already born of the Spirit of God. As a matter of fact, he was already born of the Spirit of God before he absolutely understood and knew about the truth of the gospel and believed it. You know what comes first? You got to be born. And then if you're born, you're able to believe. And then if you believe, you ought to be baptized. That's the order. And that is to take up your cross and follow the Lord in baptism, showing that you believe that Jesus died and was buried and rose again. Doesn't make you his child. Make you happy though. It'll make you rejoice. And you'll have a peace that he has promised, that is given to us as we follow our Lord. And it's an answer of a good conscience towards God. And as the Lord leads and directs, I pray that you'll follow him in that way. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Any good thing, give the Lord the praise and the honor and the glory. And I appreciate you being here. And you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.
I love you, my brother. God bless you.